Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going.
Episode 42, Fringe Elements. The technique was loose and sloppy. The stylized imagery bordered on abstraction. The finished product seemed almost tossed together. But closer examination reveals an intense, studied effort. This was 17th century Delftware from potteries across Southwark on the Thames River opposite London. What was going through these potters' minds? More to the point, what was going on right outside their doors? Potters, along with painters, glaziers, weavers, metalsmiths, woodworkers, and artisans of all sorts, congregated in Southwark from the 13th century onwards. Musicians and actors, including Shakespeare and the famous Rose Theatre, joined them. But congregated is a generous term. Confined would be more accurate. Many of Southwark's artisans, potters included, were strangers or aliens. Immigrants, that is. Dutch, French, German, Spanish, etc. Most were brought there by the royal family or other local elites, wanting the latest and greatest from the continent. Alien artisans were severely discouraged from settling within London city limits, however, thanks to collusive efforts of London's various artisan guilds. In a true expression of big city mentality, foreigners was a term used for English nationals from outside London who, like actors and musicians, weren't much welcomed either. London's guilds continually petitioned the crown to evict, tax, restrain, or otherwise punish those nasty alien job stealers. Guild vitriol curiously echoed sentiments from a little over 100 years later in the newly independent United Colonies of America. In other words, the fear that local buyers would imagine handiwork of exotic foreign artisans to be automatically superior to local products. Back in Southwark, restriction did have its advantages. The London Guild's more extreme efforts rarely stuck, because Southwark was outside the authority of London's bailiffs. Southwark was a multicultural aesthetic melting pot, spiced with a righteous dose of siege mentality. The scene was further powered by an exotic new stimulant then flooding English society. Caffeine. Respectable London saw Southwark as a rough, seedy, blue-light district full of prostitutes, thieves, aliens, actors, and artisans of all stripe. Which it was. But everyone who was anyone wanted what Southwark had to offer. Other English Delftware pottery centers of Norwich, Liverpool, and Bristol, port towns all, were similar wretched hives of scum and villainy, to paraphrase a famous traveler from a galaxy long ago and far away. These were the dodgy environments that produced some of the most creative art of the era. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember that oddly appropriate question posed by Robert Hunter, the lyricist for the Grateful Dead. What's shaking on Shakedown Street?